You're listening to Mobile Bunny by Moomoo, demystifying markets one episode at a time. This content is strictly for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be interpreted as a recommendation or investment guidance. Keep in mind that this information is not personalized and should not be the sole basis for your investment decisions, as there may be additional factors to consider.
Welcome to Mobile Money by Moomoo. I'm your host, Justin Zaks, Vice President of Strategy at Moomoo Technologies. I've spent my whole career in and around financial markets. This is a show that helps investors gain a better understanding of markets and their money. Sometimes we make rational decisions about investing, sometimes not so rational. It's important for investors to understand the psychology behind trading, both for individual trades and for the overall market. Today, I will explore some of the behavioral patterns of investors and how they influence trades and markets generally. I'll talk to you about some of the common mistakes emotional traders make and what some of the possible solutions are to keep your emotions in check. If you follow TikTok at all, you may have come across a recent trend called girl math. And so the idea behind girl math, it's just a way to rationalize younger people, particularly some of their financial behaviors that they know they really shouldn't be doing. The way girl math works might go something like this. You've bought an item, say it costs $500. These are usually very expensive items, indulgences that you might not normally have. But you say, well, I bought this item, you know, clothing, a piece of clothing perhaps, $500. And you say, well, if I wear it 10 times, it only costs $50 per wear. And this is how people are going to justify some of these extravagant purchases. Another way to explain away the price might be, say, well, I paid with cash, so there's no actual paper trail. You're not seeing it in your statement, your credit card statement come up and say, well, oh, I paid for cash, so then the item's really free. I paid for cash, say, for these Taylor Swift concert tickets 3 months ago, and oh, here, found $500, and these are free tickets. That's how some people might justify these purchases. And let me be sure to explain that girl math is certainly not just for girls. It can be for anyone. Everyone can fall into some of these psychological traps with their money. And it goes well beyond just purchases, and it can move into investing. Girl math highlights three psychological behaviors that also show up a lot in trading and investing. Cognitive dissonance, confirmation bias, and mental accounting. Let's walk through each of these three, talk a little bit about what they mean, how they relate to girl math, and then how they may relate to investing. Cognitive dissonance is a behavioral pattern where people are uncomfortable when they hold two different beliefs. It's the idea, say you really love this particular pair of boots that you want to buy. So there's that, and then there's also a uncomfortable factor because you know they are too expensive. And in the end run, as much as you may love those boots, you can't financially afford them. Perhaps the most prominent example of cognitive dissonance in trading is the price at which you buy a security. This is your sunk cost. So if I buy a stock at $100 and the stock moves, whether it moves up to $120 or $80, that $100 price no longer matters to me. I mean, other than outside of taxes. So it's no longer worth that. If it's worth, it's trading at $120, it's worth $120. You can sell it now for $120. If it's trading at $80, it's worth $80 at this point in time. And you can sell it for $80 or you can buy it for $80. So understand that idea that you bought it for 100 and now it's fallen to 50. Well, it's worth 50. And there's that idea that it's not the same and that you should just hold on to that stock. And that's where you get people taking these huge losses because they're not thinking about the price where the stock is trading, $50. They're thinking about where they bought it at, $100. They're like, in their head, it's worth $100. Meanwhile, they can justify it all they want, but when they go to sell it, it's only worth $50 because that's where it's trading in the market. This is also connected with another psychological phenomenon called anchoring bias. It's the idea that investments performance may be based upon what happened to it recently. So if it hit a recent high, it's more likely to go up. A recent low, it's more likely to go down. And so you can have investors being more or less optimistic or pessimistic based upon these idea of what's happened recently. Just because a stock hits an all-time high does not mean it will continue to hit all-time highs. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future value or performance. Secondly, let's look at confirmation bias. That's where you're making and you're justifying your decisions based upon selective news or something that is particular evidence that supports your cause. So maybe you're buying those boots because it's snowing outside and you say, well, if it's snowing outside, then I need these boots. But what you're not saying is, well, it's March and there's only a week left of winter. And meanwhile, I can't afford these. So you're only taking really selective pieces of evidence to justify that purchase and not thinking about holistically. In the realm of investing, people will, maybe it'll be earnings season and you're looking at your stock and say, well, how did the stock do? And the stock, maybe it beat slightly on the actual EPS. Meanwhile, there was a revenue miss and a margin miss, and maybe there was also a bad outlook. But what you'll focus on when you hold the stock, and say the stock drops, but you'll continue to hold it because you say, well, they did beat on EPS. And you're not going to look at the whole picture and say, what are all the other factors that might be sending this stock down? You need to look at everything holistically and not be beholden to confirmation bias when you're doing your type, when you're doing your trading and investing. And thirdly, mental accounting is a way to think about different types of money in different types of ways. It's mainly bucketing them. So we talked about this idea of cash. You paid something for cash. Well, that's different if it was on your credit card. Or think about this. You went to buy those pair of boots. Then you returned them. And say you spent $500. Now you get a $500 refund. Oh, $500, that's free money. You're thinking of that $500 differently than you might think of that $500 if it were in your bank account or if it had yet to be spent. Investors use this mental accounting often when they have a large gain. Think about if you bought a stock for $100 and now it goes to $200. So now suddenly you have an extra $100. And now people think of that extra $100 as more of a found money. We're like, oh, I just doubled my money. And so they may be willing to take that $100, say they sell the stock at $200, and then take that $100 and say, well, this is found money. I am just going to be much more risky than I normally would with investing. And they go and take that $100 and they make a riskier bet. And again, when you sold that stock at $200, you have $200 in cash. That is no different than if you had $200 of cash in your bank. So if you took that $200 out, you should have the same risk profile you would have with that $200 as you would with the $200 of when you sold the stock. Another way investor psychology plays into trading is on the downside. A lot of people, as much as they will take risk with that, quote, found money when they have a big win, they'll often double down on losers because they don't want to give up and say, well, this is the, you know, the end of my trade. It hasn't done well. So if a trade gets cut in half, they'll go buy more instead of thinking, well, is there an alternative to this investment that is better? They're not thinking rationally. And this can have tremendous issues when people keep doubling down on the exact same thing and they keep losing and you get that idea of catching a falling knife. It just doesn't work very well. And then there's also the idea of how you behave when your money's in, say, a retirement account or if it's in your child's account or if you're managing money from someone else. And a lot of these cases, you are going to take less risk than you would with your own money. And there's a real question of, you know, why should you be taking more risk with your money? If you're investing, you should have an investing philosophy, and it should be relatively stable across your different accounts. Because again, it's all one pool, big pool of money. There's a field in economics called behavioral economics that studies all these things, and the idea that there is an efficient financial markets is not really true when you take into the psychology of all of these different traders. So when you're making these trades that are irrational, other people are doing the same things. And so then the question becomes, if I become a rational trader, great. The next step is then to say, well, how can I use that to my advantage? How can I measure what other investors are doing, number one, in a particular stock, and number two, in the market overall? So is the market, very high in fear, very, high in greed. And so that's with the market or a stock. Is the momentum going a certain way or another? First, let's take a look at some of the technical indicators related to particular stocks. And the great part is all of these indicators are available on the Moomoo app or on your Moomoo desktop. So you can overlay them all on your charts and graphs. And probably the most important one and most simple one to start with is volume. Volume tends to be very heavy when there is a lot of interest either one way in a stock or another. So there's a lot of buying, there'll be a lot of volume there. And when there's a lot of panic selling, there'll be a lot of volume. So that's something really to think about and say, is there some type of FOMO? Is it the volume picking up so much that people are getting out of control? And the other way to think about it is when there's very low volume. So if a stock is, moving up a lot on very light volume, that move may not be trusted as it would if there was significant volume all the way, along the path. Or is there just this quick volume spike that's happening? And that could be an indication that you're near a top or near a bottom in a particular stock. Momentum is another great indicator to use, and it's abbreviated MTM on the app. And that's the rate at which price movement is either accelerating or decelerating over time. And so measuring that momentum can be very important, and particularly when that momentum goes parabolic. So, momentum can be a great trend following trade, but at some point, the momentum gets out of control and prices either spike very quickly to the upside or very fast to the downside. So the momentum gets so strong that it eventually becomes exhausted. Or if it had the actual valuations of the company are not keeping up. RSI, or Relative Strength Index, is another great indicator to use. And it's really nice because it has a value from 0 to 100. So you can kind of gauge it as opposed to just having a buy or a sell. You kind of gauge it. Say, so once you get below 20 or over 80, you could say some of the momentum and the strength is getting super strong, so that it's time to be cautious if you're long, and if you're short, it would be cautious on the downside. These are the types of things you can use to evaluate the market psychology, this RSI, and particularly you're looking at that kind of that over 80 level or the below 20 level to say these may be oversold or overbought situations. And please remember, overbought as some stock may be, it can always be more overbought and vice versa. As much as people sell something, they can even sell it more. So it doesn't necessarily mean just because any of these indicators, you just see them, they're only a guidepost to use. Something can always get worse or better or go higher or go lower. Another indicator to look at, particularly if you're looking at kind of the end of day daily changes, is the Williams percent R, or a WM percent sign, capital R. And it really focuses on the closing prices and whether they are near the high of the day or near the low of the day. And they show the indicator will show a level of momentum based on that. Another great feature of the Moomoo app is the interpretation of indicators. So you can get this for a stock, and it takes a lot of these indicators, combines them together and gives you one kind of rating. And you can get that for three different time periods on the app, and shows you how many bearish signals there are, how many bullish signals there are, without you having to go through every single signal individually. And so it's a great overview of how bullish or bearish people are on a particular stock. And for the market overall, there are a number of indicators that traders often look at to determine, are we in a bubble, or are we, have we sold off too much, and are people super pessimistic? Probably one of the most looked at ones is called the VIX, or the volatility index. And people look at certain levels in the VIX to say, oh, is there too much greed, or is there too much fear? They call it the fear index. But please do remember, the VIX is just a future expected volatility of the market. So just because it's going up does not mean the market will go down, although that often happens. What you do see sometimes is the market tends to crash faster than it goes up, but that does not always happen. So please be aware of that. So the VIX is only one of those indicators. The other indicator with options is put-call ratio. So people will look, are people trading more puts? More importantly, I think it's really important to look at the price of puts versus the price of calls at the same delta. So if you're looking at, say, a 20 delta call and a 20 delta put, which one is more expensive. And usually the case is the puts are more expensive because there's more likelihood that the a stock or the market will crash very quickly as it has in the past. But again, that's not always the case. Sometimes there's a lot of exuberance around calls. So the calls are more bid than the puts. So this is a great indicator to look at. I do want to note a lot of people will look at some of these indicators to justify their opinion on the market. And as much as you think the market is overvalued or undervalued, it can always become more undervalued or more overvalued. And the best example I like to give is that this idea of irrational exuberance. And Alan Greenspan spoke of this in 1996, and it would be another 4 years before the market actually peaked. And so it's something to think about if you're saying, well, you know, if you think we're overvalued, how do you go about taking advantage of that? If you decide to short the market, that could be very risky. The market could continue to go up and you could have the potential to lose all your money. And on the flip side, if we are in an overvalued market or you do feel it's overvalued, that doesn't mean you need to be invested or fully invested. Yeah, it doesn't mean you need just because your neighbor is chasing the market up. Doesn't mean you need to as well, because obviously eventually, you know, from 96 until 2000, the market ran up. But eventually it did become overvalued enough where it crashed back down to earth. And so it's a risky game you play when the market and some of these indicators say, oh, we're very, very overvalued and you continue to buy or you continue to buy on margin. And the margin buying is another great indicator. Are people borrowing money to buy more stock? That's when you know they're really like the market. And a lot of times it's not when the market's extremely undervalued. It's when the market is extremely overvalued, because people don't start borrowing until other people do. And they're kind of chasing it up because there's this fear of missing out on what's going to happen next. And a lot of times that's the end of the cycle, not necessarily the beginning. One last emotion I'd like to talk about is guilt. And guilt is actually involved in a lot of trading. And the number one thing I want to tell you is make sure you're trading with money you can afford to lose. And this will actually lead you to feeling a lot less guilty if that does happen. So, you know, a lot of people get very drawn into it and they're losing money they really can't afford to lose. So if you are starting to feel guilty about your trading losses and you're hiding those trading losses or you're upset about making those trading errors, maybe it's time to take a step back, cut back your trading size, stop, maybe do some paper trading on the app. It's a great way to test your strategies, get back into the right mental state. And then on the other side, the other area of guilt is also really fascinating. People, you know, particularly people that are taking some of these risky investments and maybe they do pay off, and maybe this is some skill, maybe it's some luck too. There is this idea that, oh, I just made all this money. And a lot of people try to equate this to their job, say, well, you know, today I made, you know, $100 and it takes me, you know, 5 hours of work to make $100 and I just made it in 5 minutes. Well, you really have to think about that over a long term. And it's not found money. You're taking this money that you already have and you're putting it to work. So it's definitely a very difficult thing to think about. But you really can't think about that in terms of guilt. Whether you make or lose the money, the market doesn't care whether you're guilty or not, and whether you feel emotional or not about making or losing that money. So how do you avoid letting emotions creep into your trading and investing? First thing probably is trade the amount of money you're comfortable with. If you're starting to feel anxious, if you're starting to feel guilty or fear or greed or any of these emotions, maybe it's time to cut back the amount of money that you're trading with. You can always take some of your money and put it in safer investments. So that's the other thing, is you should be evaluating your risk tolerance all the time, because a lot of times emotions come into play when you are exceeding the risk tolerance that you've set for yourself. Never get too high or never get too low, particularly when you haven't exited the trade. Yeah, I mean, you may see these trades go really for you or really against you, and you should think about, well, what is my exit strategy? You shouldn't be thinking, oh, I made all this money, but you haven't realized it yet, or I lost all this money. You know, what do I do now? I'm in panic mode. You always really want to keep an even keel, because if you don't have an even keel, you won't be able to make rational decisions. a lot of times you need to let go of some of these beliefs you have about the market or a particular stock that you that may have been something from a year ago or something that's just not really true or you haven't evaluated it thoroughly. So, you know, you got to let go of these false beliefs and really just look at what the stock's giving you, what the market's giving you, what the fundamentals are telling you. Lastly, and maybe most importantly, you need to have a plan. You need to have a plan to get into a trade, and you need to have a plan to get out of the trade well in advance. Any type of impulsivity or panic, buying or selling usually doesn't end well. So the best thing to do is have a plan and think about that plan in terms of branches, because you don't know what's going to happen. So if something happens one way, you're going to have your plan's going to be to do one thing. And if it happens another way, well, you're going to change that plan. And you constantly need to evaluate your plan as new information is released, whether that's earnings or whether that's something with the overall economy, say the Federal Reserve, what happens with interest rates. All of these things need to be taken into account in your trading plan and the way you invest. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. And if you have, please comment in the comment section on Apple or Spotify. We'd love to hear some of your comments about how you liked the podcast and what you'd like to see in the future. Thank you.
The opinions expressed are those of the host and any guest speaker and not necessarily those of Moomoo Technologies, Inc. or its affiliates. The podcast is provided for informational and educational purposes only and is not a recommendation or endorsement of any particular investment or investment strategy that may be mentioned or covered in the podcast. All investments involve risk and the loss of principal as possible. Past performance does not indicate or guarantee future success. Moomoo is not affiliated with any outside guests or their companies. Information provided in this podcast is general in nature and may not be appropriate for all investors. The Moomoo app is an online trading platform offered by Moomoo Technologies, Inc. Securities, brokerage products, and related services available through the Moomoo app are offered by Moomoo Financial, Inc., a member of FINRA, SIPC.